important topic, and it will be to your benefit as well as your edification. All right, to listen carefully the Word of God as we consider the resurrection rapture. We have already had an overview last night of the 10 major end time events. And as I mentioned, we will focus on three important ones that is described in more detail in the scripture. And we'll begin with the first called the rapture, commonly understood as the rapture, but more accurately, it is the rapture, resurrection, and I'm going to use them interchangeably, all right? Rapture, resurrection, or resurrection, rapture. Now, on July 26, 1969, the United States launched a spaceship towards the moon. And inside the spaceship sat two brave astronauts. A major part of the world did nothing else but watch man's landing on the moon on TV. And as spectacular a feat as that was in the history of space, it pales into significance when compared with God's next prophetic event, which is the rapture. I'm sure we have read in the news also that they are building a plane that can take people to outer space for a ride. And it is not cheap, isn't it? I forgot what the sum was, in the tune of $250,000 or $500,000 US dollars per person. All right, just to take a ride, enjoy a tour in space. Now, we don't have to pay for this ride that we're going to have when the Lord comes at the rapture. It's FOC. It's going to take us more than to outer space. In fact, there are three heavens described in the scripture. The first heaven is our atmospheric earth. Second heavens is outer space, where all the planets and the stars are. And the third heavens is the dwelling place of the living God. So we are going to be raptured all the way through from earth to the second heavens, and we'll reach the third heavens without any spacecraft. It's going to be a spectacular sight as we move up with the Lord. I'm not sure how fast we'll move, but if you have been to some of those places on a helicopter view, for example, of the Grand Canyon and so on, right? You really enjoy, even if it's a short right up there. And imagine we are going to look at the whole universe as we go up with the Lord at the rapture. So this is the glorious hope of the Christian. And most of us may have suffered the loss of a loved one who is a believer. And although we sorrow, we do not sorrow, as Paul says, the same way as the world sorrows. Because we have confidence in God's promise that He will one day raise all those who believe in Him. In fact, some believers will not face death because the rapture may occur in their lifetime, and I hope it will be in our lifetime where we don't have to face death and be caught away with the Lord. So let us look at this spectacular and glorious event that is to happen next in God's prophetic calendar. Introduction, let's move. I have the clicker, I forgot. In today's message, you should be able to explain the significance of the rapture resurrection for the believer, list the reasons that indicate the rapture will precede the tribulation. And in application, we should respond by prayerfully expecting the soon return of Christ. I mentioned earlier, last night, that the book of Revelation gives a chronology of future events. And the next event to occur is the resurrection rapture. There are some key questions with regards to this end time event. Number one, who will be raptured? Number two, how will this event take place? And number three, when will this take place? So first question, who will be raptured? The answer is obvious, only believers in Jesus Christ, dead or living. Those who have died before the rapture will be resurrected, and they will rise first, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Let's turn our Bibles to that passage. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, meaning those who have died, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So only believers will experience the rapture resurrection. The rapture is the sudden supernatural removal of believers from the earth. Right? It's a sudden supernatural removal of believers from the earth. We have an illustration of that in the life of Enoch. Enoch was taken by God while he was alive. The same happened to the prophet Elijah. All right? And in the prophet Elijah's case, Elisha, his successor, witnessed that rapture of his mentor. So that is what we believers are going to experience. How will this event take place? Well, I mentioned this already. If you have heard the scripture read, and what I mentioned is that the dead in Christ shall rise first, right? So how this will happen is there's a sudden supernatural removal. The dead in Christ shall rise first, those who are alive will be caught up. And in reunion together, we will meet the Lord in the air. When will this take place? Our position is that it will take place before the 7 years of tribulation. The church will be raptured before the 7 years of tribulation. Now this question, of course, has different answers. Some believe that do not believe in the pre-tribulational rapture, and they hold a position called the mid-tribulational rapture, where the church, they believe, will be raptured after the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Later on, we are going to go into some reasons why we believe that the pre-trib position, all right, is the best and correct position. Then the other third position is the post-tribulational, all right, which believes that the rapture occurs after the 7 years of tribulation on earth. Now this position fails to distinguish the second advent and the rapture of the church. The rapture is different from the second advent. All right? Rapture occurs imminently, without warning. Second coming has signs pointing to it. We will talk about this a little more in our subsequent points. All right? Maybe now I can give you a set of notes which will diagram for you these three different positions. And of course, there are others, all right? Other positions as well, but I'm just giving you the three main ones. Brother James and Kok Wai, the top set of notes, please. Yeah, please distribute them. Let me just briefly explain the two phases of the second coming, the rapture and the revelation, or second coming as commonly understood. Now the rapture is imminent. By that we mean that it can occur anytime, even now. But it doesn't mean that it will Okay, by the imminent return of Christ, we mean that it can occur anytime, even now. But it doesn't mean that it must occur in our lifetime. Okay, so it could have occurred during the lifetime of the apostles after Jesus' resurrection and appearance. Imminency means it can occur anytime. But we know, after living 2,000 years now from that point, that it did not occur during their lifetime. All right, so it can occur also in our lifetime, but it may not. Because that time, of course, is determined by God. What is the difference between the rapture and the revelation, or the second coming? Well, in the rapture, Jesus comes for his saints. John 14:3. He comes for his saints. In the revelation, he comes with his saints. You understand? Okay. Some of you shook your head, so let's turn to John 14. Let's look at Jesus' promise there in John chapter 14. Let's read together verses 1 to 3. All right, John 14, verses 1 to 3, let's begin. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Alright, so I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again, he said, and receive you unto myself. So in the rapture, Jesus comes for his saints to take us to heaven. In the revelation or second coming, after the 7 years of tribulation, he comes with the saints. Remember in the prophetic calendar of God, what happens after the rapture? There's a judgment happening in heaven. The Bema Seat judgment of Christ for believers, where rewards will be meted out. Right? And after the 7 years of tribulation, all the saints will return with Jesus to the earth when he will set up his millennial kingdom. And we will rule with him on earth for 1,000 years. Alright? So rapture, Jesus comes for his saints, and only the saints will know. Alright? He comes with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. That's the only warning. And it happens very quickly. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and look at how fast the rapture will occur. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. We'll read only two verses 51 and 52. Let's begin. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now Paul says, I show you a mystery. A mystery is something that God has not revealed, that he is revealing now. In 1 Corinthians 50:51. The rapture is not mentioned in the Old Testament. Only the two comings of Christ, his first and second coming, and also the tribulation, as we saw in Daniel chapter 9 yesterday, right? But chapter 7 or chapter 9. And the rapture is not mentioned in the Old Testament. It's only revealed through the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the epistles of the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians as well as 1 Corinthians 15:51. What is this mystery that God is revealing to believers? Well, we shall not all sleep or die. We shall all be changed. Whether sleeping or dying, we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall be raised, and we shall be changed. And then, of course, he mentioned the living in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. How fast will the rapture occur? In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Interestingly, the word used for in a moment in the Greek is translated or is derived from the English word atom. Alright, an atom. So it's referring to the smallest amount of time in a moment. The smallest amount of time. And then in the twinkling of an eye. How fast is that? It didn't say in the blinking of an eye. We blink all the time, right? Yeah. How fast can you blink? Even blinking is quite fast, isn't it?
Now don't wink, blink.
Okay. But here it is twinkling of an eye. It takes 1/50th of a second to blink. 1 second is already very fast. One. But 1/50th of a second to blink. A twinkle is shorter than a blink. Now it's hard to measure how fast the twinkling of an eye. So that is how fast the rapture will occur without any warning, except believers will hear the trump of God. It will sound. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. When we hear the trumpet, we'll be raptured immediately. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. So can you imagine the implications of the rapture to the world? Christian pilots flying a commercial airline plane and the rapture occurs. If the co-pilot is not a Christian but also a believer, there'll be no one to fly the plane. Isn't it? And I think some of you have watched a movie called Left Behind that tries to portray the chaos and confusion unbelievers will face at the rapture, when all their believing loved ones suddenly disappear from the earth. And they'll be looking for the cause. But the reason can only be found in the scripture. Hopefully, some will remember what they have heard, and that event will cause them to trust in the Word of God and in the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Alright, so the world will be in a very chaotic situation in the rapture, because things are just going to happen so quickly at the rapture. Okay, we move on to your chart now that you have in your hand. This gives you in pictorial form the different positions with regards to when the rapture will occur. Okay? Our position is the first one on top there, called pre-tribulationism, where we believe that the rapture occurs before the 7 years of tribulation, and after which Christ will return with his saints. Mid-tribulationism believes that the rapture occurs in the middle of the tribulation period, after the first 3.5 years. Because I told you last night that it is divided into two equal halves of 3.5, 3.5. For the first 3.5, apparent peace for Israel, with the Antichrist making a covenant to protect Israel. In the second half, he broke that covenant. He committed blasphemy and sacrilege and persecuted and killed many of the Jewish people. Alright? And Daniel described that period as the Great Tribulation, or the time of Jacob's trouble, the abomination of desolation. So this is the mid-tribulationism position. And the post-tribulationism believes it happens only, rapture occurs after the 7 years of tribulation. So I hope that is that chart here is helpful for you. Okay? Because describing in words sometimes is not so easy to grasp. But the picture will tell you 1,000 words. And of course, there's one more position I didn't cover. They call it the partial rapture, where they believe that the rapture occurs at different times during the 7 years. Before, during, several times. Okay? But our position is the first one, and we'll go for the reasons in a short while. Now the one at the back we will be using tonight, so bring it back again with you this evening. Okay, let's move on to our notes and outline. So let's talk first about the resurrection. The resurrection is a source of great hope for the Christian. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. And we see that the intermediate state will come to an end. In Luke 16, Jesus told a parable about a rich man and Lazarus, a poor man, a beggar. Both of them died. One went to Abraham's bosom, which is a Jewish terminology for paradise, and the other went to Hades. All right? So that intermediate state will come to an end at the rapture. There will be a great change in the body itself, as described in 1 Corinthians 15:51, 52, and also 42 to 44. Corruption will be raised in incorruption, dishonor raised in glory, weakness raised in power. Natural body raised a spiritual body. And the basis, the whole basis for this great hope of the resurrection of believers who have died before the rapture is the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Christ is the whole basis. And he's also the first fruit. Now the resurrection, as mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 4, precedes the rapture. Then we which are alive shall not prevent them which are asleep. The word prevent is an old English word which means precede. We shall not precede them, all right, who are dead. So the dead will rise first, followed by the living believers. The Lord descends with a great shout, and the shout is the announcement of the archangel. The shout is accompanied by the trump of God. And I'd like you at this time to turn to Acts chapter 1, please. Acts chapter 1, where we have the ascension of the Lord Jesus. And in the ascension of the Lord Jesus, we will learn how we believers will be taken to heaven as well. After the Lord told his disciples before his ascension that they are not to set a date for the second coming, verse 9 describes his ascension. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Alright, so he's taken up in a cloud. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. These are angels, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." So the Lord will return in like manner in a cloud. And at the rapture, the trump of God will sound. We will probably be carried up in the clouds into heaven together with him. Now that event, the believers cannot see the Lord Jesus in the clouds. Only the believers. All right. At the second coming, he will reveal himself to the whole world at the Mount of Olives, where he will descend with all his saints. So please be clear about these two phases of the second coming. All right. The rapture, no warning, imminent, sudden, all right, event. The second coming, there are signs, which is given by the Lord Jesus in the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24:25. We'll look at that probably in the next session this evening. Alright, so having seen the resurrection of the dead believers at the rapture, let's look at the rapture of living saints. Alright, the nature of the rapture. Believers will be alive physically. Those who are alive physically will be caught away. The Greek word harpazo, snatch up, transported. right? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, will be snatched up into the skies. And believers will meet Christ in the earth's atmosphere. And then taken to heaven forever, and our bodies will be glorified. We shall all be changed. Scripture tells us, we shall all be changed. Now I will give you reasons for why we believe and we take the pre-trib position of when the rapture will occur, which is before the 7 years of tribulation. All right. Firstly, because of the imminence of Christ's return. Nothing must precede Christ's return. I've referred you to John 14:3 already and Acts 1:11. Now let's turn to another passage in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verses 20 to 21. Philippians 3, 20, 21. Let's read together, shall we? For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So we look for the Savior, who shall change our vile body. Same concept as in 1 Corinthians 15. The sequence. Next. Of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 to 5, 11. Describes the rapture resurrection taking place before the day of the Lord, which is the second coming. So we have read chapter 4, 13 to 18. Let us continue with chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and read verses 1 to 11. We shall read responsively. Okay? I'll take verse 1, all of you together, verse 2. And we'll read verse 11 together. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Together, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another
even as also ye do.
So the resurrection rapture in the sequence of 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5 occurs first, and then the day of the Lord happens. It is a time of trouble, all right, the great tribulation. And the rapture is described as a comfort, and Paul tells us in chapter 5, we are not appointed to wrath, right? And the word wrath is described for the tribulation period, where the world of unbelievers will face the wrath of the Lamb. And it's interesting, Jesus is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. When you look at a lamb, what is the picture? A very meek animal, right? You don't look at a lamb as one that is very fierce and ferocious. No. But in Revelation, the same term lamb is used of the Lord Jesus Christ, but this lamb has wrath. They will face the wrath of the Lamb. So Jesus comes as judge at the second coming, and in the tribulation, the unbelieving world will suffer or face his anger or wrath, right? Because of his holiness and his punishment of sin. Right, third reason is the division of the book of Revelation. And we have an outline given for us in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 19. Revelation 1 and verse 19 outlines the whole book of Revelation for us, where John, the beloved apostle, said, was instructed to write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. So a simple outline of Revelation will go like that. Chapter 1, the things which John had seen, a vision, all right, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and of the last days. Chapter 2 and 3, the things which are, where we have the letters to the seven churches during the time of John. And chapters 4 to 22, the things which shall be hereafter. And remember I mentioned last night that the word church is only mentioned in the first three chapters of Revelation. From chapter 4 onwards, it disappeared. All right? Because our deduction is that the church has been raptured before the tribulation, where chapter 6 begins the description of the tribulation. All right? So from then onwards, you don't see the church mentioned until the end of the book. Fourth reason, the pre-tribulation rapture of the church explains the spread of evil in the world during the tribulation. 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 and 8 say that restrainer will be taken away. And remember the metaphor that Jesus used of believers are, we are the salt and the light of the world. What are the uses of salt? To preserve food from turning bad, isn't it? So the same way, with our presence on earth, in some sense, evil is being restrained by the presence of righteous believers. Correct? Take away all the righteous believers, and the world will become an unbelievable place to live in, where there is lawlessness. Okay? So we'll be taken away, and it will explain the spread of evil in the world during the tribulation. Fifth, the necessary existence of 144,000 sealed witnesses who serve as evangelists during the tribulation period, described for us in Revelation chapter 7. So if we are still around, there's no need for this special force, evangelistic force, the 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each tribe that has the mark of God to witness. All right? And six, the teaching of the book of Revelation concerning the marriage supper of the Lamb, where the church is the bride and the supper occurs in heaven before the second advent. So what is the purpose of the rapture? Can you remember? Jesus fulfilling his promise to come for us, right? To rescue us from wrath or tribulation. To redeem our body. And in that redemption, there is also reunion of the saints. Now people often ask, what will our new bodies look like? And someone asked me that question last night after the message. And said, can we recognize one another in a new body? Well, if you remember the Lord Jesus being raised from the dead and had a glorified body appearing 40 days to different disciples of his, could they recognize him? They could. All right? And at one time, those ladies mistaken him for the gardener. But when he spoke, they recognized his voice. So our voice can be recognized, our face can be recognized. How will we look like exactly? Is there any age in that glorified body? That means if we rapture occurs when you are 60 years old, will you look 60 for all eternity? Which means that your age kind of hanged there forever, okay? So those of you younger will probably say, well, I'm 21 now, the Lord better come now. I want to look 21 for eternity, not 60 or 75, with all the wrinkles. Now don't worry, because the mortal will put on immortality, right? Corruption will put on incorruption. A natural body will be raised a spiritual body. So our body, how will it look like exactly? I cannot tell or say, because scripture does not reveal these details to us. But what we know is that it will be a glorified body without decay. Right? Without decay. So imagine no decay, no bodily ailments. Okay, all this will be a thing of the past. All right? So if you are diabetic, you'll no more be a diabetic. If you are handicapped, you no more have handicaps, right, with a new glorified body. But how exactly we look like, I really cannot tell. But we will be able to recognize each other. And God doesn't rapture wheelchairs, some people say, and those things. He rapture us, okay, and our bodies. And he changed that to a glorified one. So he will be glorious. That's all I can say. Because that's what scripture says. Alright? You'll be glorious. Incorruptible. Immortal. You can walk through walls. In the millennium. And imagine in the millennium, there will be a mixture of saints who have been raptured and returned with Christ in their glorified bodies with those who have earthly, corruptible bodies not yet changed. Living at the same time. We'll come to that in the fifth message. Okay? So redemption of the body, reunion of the saints. And I think before we close, it's important for us to consider
whether we are ready to meet the Lord. The rapture is an imminent event. It can happen today.
If you say, I don't think so, go to Matthew 24:44.
Therefore, be ye also ready. Right? For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh.
So he can come today. He can come now. But will he? We do not know.
Therefore, we must be always ready, because it's going to happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye.
Are you fit for the rapture?
Well, to be fit for the rapture, to qualify for the rapture,
you must ask yourself this question: are you trusting the Lord Jesus as your Savior?
If not, you are not ready, you are not fit, and you will not qualify when the rapture happens. You will be one of those who will be left behind to face the chaos and confusion of the world.
So let me urge you, if you have not placed your faith in Jesus Christ, to do so today and be ready to meet the Lord anytime he returns.
For those of us who are believers awaiting the rapture, we need to ask another question: are we living for the Lord? If the Lord were to come back today, what would he find you doing? Will your lifestyle embarrass you if Jesus Christ were to come back today? If the Lord were to come tonight, would he find you a fruitful or a fruitless Christian? Will he find you living for self or for him? So in the light of his imminent return, we ought to be living for Christ.
And I think Brother Norman emphasized that last night, in a sense, right?
We should be ready. We should live for him. So we must be living purely. We must be living harmoniously. We must be living joyfully. And we must be living zealously, winning souls for him.
So don't be sluggish in your Christian life. The Lord is coming any moment.
Don't be sluggish. Don't slacken in your daily devotions.
Read your Bible every day. Pray.
Be faithful to the Lord's day of worship.
Keep the Sabbath holy.
Obey him, serve him, and love him with all the whole of your being. And if you do all this, you don't have to worry when he comes, because you are always ready. And you will not be ashamed when the rapture occurs.
So may God help each of us to prepare ourselves in these ways. First, to trust him as our Savior. Second, to live for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, I forgot to give you the blanks. So fill this up.
Okay, today there will be discussion groups. All right, after we finish here, you will break up into your 10 groups for discussion. But the youths from 13 or 14 years old onwards to 19 or 20, all right, you will be in a separate group with me and my wife, all right? So all those 13, 14 to 20, please come to the front over this side to join my group. There are two practical questions with, which I implication practical application questions which I would like you to discuss in your groups. Firstly, are you looking forward to the blessed hope? Why or why not? And what effects should the resurrection rapture have on the Christian life? There are other questions in your outline, sorry. I can't hear you, sorry, Norman. Right now, huh? No. We will break into your discussion groups first and have your own group discussion. And then we will... You will also discuss the questions that are given in your outline. All right? But these two are more for practical applications. The others are more for knowledge. Okay? Oh, you're asking whether right now? Oh, okay. All right, we can have a short time of a Q&A for the session. All right, of what I've just went through, the materials with you. Yeah, we can ask that. But for these two, we will not be touching on, except in your groups. Okay? Thank you. So, okay, sure. Mike, please. This hall is too big.
It's a very interesting diagram concerning about two weeks old and powerful rupture. And just a question about powerful rupture. I think the reason why we don't follow the curse, to read the history in the Old Testament, the New Testament, it seems that there's a rupture of Enoch, later on the rupture of Elijah, and lastly the rupture of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
So that's why probably we came up with this theory. One question. Looking at the different verses, the Council of John 14:1-4, and we have 1 Corinthians 15:51-52, we mentioned about the charm of God, and then 1 Thessalonians 4:16, Christ be sent, and the Christian was taken up. Christ is sent, which is taken up. And later on, after 7 years, Christ returns. I'm saying that Christ comes down 2 times?
2 times.
2 times.
Once for the saints and one with the saints.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Anyone else? good question. Yeah, there are some people who think because of the resurrection of the body, we shouldn't have our bodies cremated. All right, so we should always conduct only what burial of believers. That is a position which I think does not affect the rapture. In my personal opinion, all right? I don't think it will affect because after a long time, the body buried in the ground will decompose. Dust thou art, to dust shall thou return thither. So whether you cremate into ashes immediately or let it decompose over time, it will come to the same end eventually. And worse is that the question where, what if we scatter the ashes? So if I take a plane up there, a Cessna, and I scatter, you know, the ashes of the dead person, how? What's going to happen at the rapture? Now, do not underestimate the power of God. Okay? You can throw the ashes in the sea, or dump a body, and some people die because of those planes that disappear, right? MH-170 in the ocean. Some of the bodies may be eaten by sharks or whatever, we don't know. So what's going to happen in those to those who are believers, eaten by sharks? Don't underestimate the power of God. God can raise our bodies from anywhere it is and reunite our physical body with our spirit and soul. So we serve an almighty God. Remember that. All right? So to me, it is really not a big issue. Okay? It is more of a personal conviction or even sometimes preference. Okay? Hope that answers your question. Grace, right? Yeah, thank you. Any more? We still have time for one or two more before we break up into groups. Deacon Ivan. People will be saved during the tribulation time. That's why there's the 144,000 witnesses. Those are the real Jehovah Witnesses, by the way. They are appointed by God, whose name is Jehovah. Yeah, they are Jews, yes. Yes. Sorry? I didn't get your last part. Can you repeat one more time? The church will be raptured, then tribulation happens. Okay, okay. Or you will wait for the next resurrection. There will be a second resurrection, by the way, yes. If you are an unbeliever, that's right. We will come to that. His question actually jumps a few sessions, all right? So we're going to just stop there and then wait for the next two messages where we'll cover. Eventually, you will be dealt with, okay? So let's just wait a little while. How many of you are only have only heard eschatological lesson the first time in this camp? First time. Okay, quite a few, huh? So the rest should be able to help those who are hearing for the first time. Alright? Now before we close, let's stand and sing the theme song and memorize our key verse. Matthew 24:44. Alright? Brother James, please. Thank you.